It's a song which extols the virtues of monarchy and exalts loyalty to the state. But as we're all getting used to singing the new lyrics for God Save the King following the accession of Charles III, academics at the UEA have revealed the rebellious roots of the national anthem. The song has been included in a new study of protest music, Our Subversive Voice, which lists 750 English protest songs from 1600 to 2020. The exact origins of the anthem are shrouded in mystery, but the UEA researchers assess claims by some scholars that it originated in the early 18th century as a Jacobite drinking song, sung by the supporters of the Stuart dynasty, which lost the throne in the Glorious Revolution of 1688. According to this theory, it was sung in protest at the reigning monarchy and in support of the rival Stuart claimants, celebrating the exiled king soon to reign over us, with extra Jacobite verses written. However, the UEA academics think it more likely that the song was first created in praise of the reigning monarch, George II, but was appropriated as a rebel protest song during the 1745 Rising, which saw a Jacobite army under Prince Charles Edward Stuart, Bonnie Prince Charlie, invade England from Scotland. According to the database, there was an immediate Jacobite attempt to appropriate an instantaneously popular song. The royal family's own website says the song was first publicly performed in London in 1745, after Bonnie Prince Charlie's forces defeated the army of King George II at Prestonpans near Edinburgh. The victory was the high point of the Jacobite campaign. After news of the Prestonpans had reached London, the leader of the band at the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, arranged God Save the King for performance after a play, praising King George II. It was a tremendous success and was repeated nightly, soon spreading to other theatres. An anti-Jacobite verse, including the line, "Rebellious Scots to crush," was sometimes sung. As the Jacobites faded as a force following their failure of 1745 Rising, their versions of the anthem faded too. And by the 19th century, the version we know today had been formalised as the national anthem. UEA's Professor John Street, the project's lead researcher, said, "When people think of protest songs, they probably first think of American music, and then perhaps the great tradition of Irish or Scottish protest songs. We wanted to find out what things would look like and sound like if you focus just on England, especially given the current attention to the ideas of Englishness."